kopirana balava grivadari kaya grivadari. So da na na na, raja jana raja na, jaya raja jana raja na. So da na na na, raja jana raja na, jaya raja jana raja na. Yamunatiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari. Yamunatiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Kopirana balava grivadari jaya grivadari. Dana balaba grivaradari jaya grivaradari. So da na na na, raja jana raja na, jaya raja jana raja na. So da na na na, raj Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Tiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Prabhupada, Asadhara Sadushi, Srimad, His Divine Grace, Shalesi, Bhaktivedanta, Swami Raj, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, and all glories to these sound devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swami Tanamane, Namaste, Sarasvatam Deve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvishesha, Shinduvadi, Paskatya, De Sadarna. Om Agana Timananda, Sya, Gananjana, Salakaya, Chaksur, Undalitam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam, Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigram Vaishnavam Scha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitams Cha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dhinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishuvano Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Padidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4. Chapter 8, Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, text number 65. Is that what's on the board there? Raja Uvacha Suta Me Balaka
Brahman. Straine na karunatmana. Nirvasita. Panchavarsha. Sahamatra Mahan Kavi. Rajo Vacha. Sutome Balako Brahman. Straine nat karunatmana. Nirvasita Panchavarsha. Sahamatra Mahakavi. Raja Ovacha. Sudome Balako Brahman. Strainena Karunatmana. Nirvasita Panchavarsha. Sahamatra Mahankavi. Nirvasita Panchavarsha Sahamatra Mahankavi Vivacha Vaman Anuratmana Nirvasita Panchavarsha Matra Mahankavi. Ladies. Uvacha Sutame Balako Brahman Saine Natma Kuratma Vivasita Panchavarsha Sahamatra Mahankavi Acha Nirvasita Panchavarsha Sahamatra Mahankavi Raju Vacha. The king replied, Suta, son, me, my, Balaka, tender boy. Brahman, my dear Brahmana. Strainena, one who is too addicted to his wife. Karuna, Atmana, one who is very hard of heart and without mercy. Nirvasita is banished. Panchavarsha, although the boy is 5 years old. Saha, with. Matra, mother. Mahan, great personality. Kavi, devotee. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The king replied, O best of the brahmanas, I am very much addicted to my wife. I am so fallen, I have abandoned all merciful behavior, even to my son, who is only 5 years old. I have banished him and his mother, even though he was a great soul and a great devotee. Please repeat. The king replied, "O best of the Brahmanas, I am very much addicted to my wife, and I am so fallen that I have abandoned all merciful behavior, even to my son, who is only 5 years old. I have banished him and his mother, even though he is a great soul and a great devotee." Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, there are some specific words which were to be understood very carefully. The king said that since he was very addicted to his wife, he had lost all his mercy. That is the beginning of becoming too affectionate. That is the result of becoming too affectionate toward women. The king had two wives. The first wife was Suniti, and the second was Suruchi. He was too attached to the second wife, however, so he could not behave well with Dhruva Maharaj. That was the cause of Dhruva Maharaj's leaving home to perform austerities. Although as a father, the king was affectionate toward his son, he minimized his affection for Dhruva Maharaj because he was too addicted to the second wife. Now he was repenting that both Dhruva Maharaj and his mother Suniti were practically banished. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest, and since his mother was being neglected by the king, she was therefore almost banished also. The king repented having banished his boy, for Dhruva was only 5 years old, and his father should not banish his wife and children or neglect their maintenance. Repentance over his neglect of both Suniti and their son, and her son, he was morose, and his face appeared withered. According to Manu Samhita, one should never desert his wife and children. In a case where the wife and children are disobedient and do not follow the principles of home life, they are sometimes given up. But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, this was not applicable because Dhruva Maharaj was very mannerly and obedient. However, moreover, he was a great devotee. Such a person is never to be neglected, yet the king was obliged to banish him. Now he was very sorry. Raju Vacha Sutame Balako Brahman Srainena Karunatmana Niravasita Panchavarsha Sahamatra Mahan Kavi. The king replied, "O best of the Brahmanas, I am very much addicted to my wife. I am so fallen that I have abandoned all merciful behavior, even to my son, who is only 5 years old. I have banished him and his mother, even though he was a great soul and a great devotee." Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Satarane. Prabhupada mentions a case where the father abandoned the children and the wife. That was the case, for instance, of Maharaj Anga. Maharaj Anga, he was a great devotee of Krishna, a great king, an emperor of the world. And one day when he was performing sacrifices, the priests were performing the sacrifices, none of the demigods came to accept the offerings. That shouldn't surprise us, because if we perform a sacrifice nowadays, I'm sure none of the demigods are going to come either. But at that time, it was quite surprising. Generally, the demigods would always come and accept their share of the offerings. Maharajanga couldn't figure out what was going on, so he inquired from the priests what happened. And they explained to him that actually you're sinless in this life, but you performed some sinful activity in your past lifetime, and therefore you could not get a son. For a king, that was considered to be inauspicious. He asked what the remedy was. The priest performed the sacrifice, and the king received the benediction from the fire in the form of one man who came with a pot of nectar, gave it to the king, and it said the king, being very liberal, he gave it to his queen, and the queen took the elixir and soon became pregnant. Unfortunately, their child was Vaina. Vaina was not the type of person you'd like to meet in a dark alley around here. He was a typical, well, I guess you could say he's a typical ruler that you probably would meet around here. Insofar that from the very early age, Vaina showed himself to be a very naughty child. For instance, when he would go into the forest with his bow and arrows, he'd kill the deer, innocent deer, without any reason. And sometimes when he was playing with his friends, he'd mercifully kill them, like a butcher merciless, without any mercy, kills an animal. Not the type of person you want to play games with. This was quite disturbing to the king. Obviously, Vaina didn't have a very good reputation. So as wherever he went, everyone would cry, "Here comes the merciless Vaina. Everyone run." The king, he tried to punish Vaina in many different ways, but Vaina was incorrigible. And so one day, the king, being very frustrated, he began to think, it is so much better, so much more fortunate not to have a son. Or, actually, he said, it's very fortunate to have such a rascal son. Because if one has a rascal son like this Vaina, one is certainly not going to be very attached to his family. So easily one can go and renounce the family. One night he woke up, got up, and left without telling anyone, without leaving a note, even without a forwarding address, and went into the forest and disappeared. And of course we know that later on Vaina became even more of a rascal, declaring himself to be God. But here is a point that King Anga, he reached perfection, went back to Godhead. Because he found himself in a very uncomfortable position. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that he was not very attached to his wife, and that was good for him. He wanted to marry a second wife. His father, Gaur Mohan, cautioned him. And said, no, better off not to marry a second wife. I know you're more attracted to the second lady. But if you become too attached, then the result is you'll find it difficult to become renounced. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, his only wife, was not very attached to devotional service. Although she was a devotee, she was actually initiated by, I believe, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. She was a chaste lady, but she got into the bad habit of drinking tea, and after selling Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam for tea biscuits, it was either tea or me. And she chose the tea. Bad choice for her, but good choice for us. So this represents one side of the picture. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Asaktir anabhishvanga putra dara grihadishu. Non-attachment to wife, home, children, and the rest. So of course one may take this in the wrong way. Just like here, the king was condemning himself that due to his too much attachment to his wife, his second wife, he had committed some activity which was not favorable. He had become akaruna, without any mercy. Just like in our prayer in the morning, the Mangala Arati, that the spiritual master is supposed to be merciful, delivering others. Similarly, Gurur Nasasyat Nas Pita Nasasyat, that one should not become a father, a mother, a spiritual master, etc., worshipful demigod, unless one is prepared to deliver his descendants from the path of birth and death. Namochet yak samapetim rityum. Therefore, in this world, every relationship between the authority, whatever the authority may be, ultimately boils down as if I can help my descendants, I help my subjects, help my persons who are, or students, help them become elevated so that they can become delivered from the path of birth and death. It is not, as it says here, that one should not have affection. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that one shows affection to the wife and children by sitting down in the morning and evening, chanting Hare Krishna together, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity. In this way, one shows one's affection. And, of course, one has to maintain them. It is not that my wife and children, we sit down morning and evening, and afterwards I go to sleep, and we all starve. No, one has to also maintain the body, because without the body, then it is not possible to execute devotional service. So the body is valuable because it's an opportunity to execute devotional service, so one also shows affection to the family by properly maintaining it. But as soon as one becomes too much interested in one's own personal sense gratification and forgets the actual welfare of others, that one's duty is not to exploit others. One's duty is to serve others in different capacities. Matridvat paradareshu, paradwareshu lostravat, atmavat sarabhuteshu, yak pashyati sapanditaha. That a learned person with some knowledge. Here it mentions that Dhruva Maharaj was Kavi. Kavi means a learned person. He was learned enough that he went into the forest looking for Krishna. So this is certainly the sign of a Gyani. This is certainly in a very intelligent person. When there's problems, he turns towards Krishna for the solution. And he was Mahan because he didn't simply chant a few rounds or read a few books trying to figure out. He actually became so determined, he left everything, went into the forest. Just like Prahlad Maharaj advised his father, my dear father, tatsaro manye surya varya dehinam sadasumu vigna dhyam asat graha. That everyone here in the material world is full of anxiety. The anxiety is either I have to gratify my senses, the shudras, or the vaishyas are anxiety, I have to maintain so many things for sense gratification. The kshatriyas, they're in anxiety. An ordinary person, ordinary vaishya, ordinary sudra, he's in anxiety maybe over one family or two families. And the kings are in anxiety over hundreds or thousands or millions of families. And the Brahmins, those who are intelligent, they realize my problem is all this anxiety, all this material attachment. Therefore, one should train others not to be an anxiety, that ultimately everything is dependent on Krishna, and Krishna is willing to supply the necessities of life for everyone if they become a devotee. So everyone should become trained to become a devotee, act devotionally, and everything will be provided. This idea for the Shudras that my senses are not gratified, that's my problem. So that is the problem, to think like that. Because as soon as one tries to unlimitedly gratify the senses, neither they'll be gratified, nor the means of gratification will exist perpetually. Gradually those will be taken away. By the laws of material nature, then one will become restricted. One's sense gratification will become restricted. Just like Prithu Maharaj chastised Mother Earth, Bhumi, for not supplying grains. And she said, why should I supply grains? They're all demons. Why should I supply grains to demons? Why should I supply milk to a snake? It'll just get more venomous. Similarly, the Vaishyas, economic development. But if it's not in Krishna consciousness, if it's not to maintain people on the path to devotional service, then that will also be taken away. Their intelligence will be taken away. And as we see, economic development is very much, people are very much interested in economic development nowadays, but there is no economic development. As I was reading Robert F. Kennedy after he won the nomination to become the Democratic candidate for the president in 1968, he said that what is our economic development? He said, we're saying our GP, or gross national product, gross national production, that's the sign of our economic development. He said, but every time someone gets run over on the highway, we add that to our economic development. Every time someone dies of cancer, that's a big economic advancement. Every time someone gets arrested and put into jail, we call that economic development. He said we have to change our vision. What is actually economic development? Of course, then they killed him, but it's a different thing. Not everyone agreed with him. And as far as the Kshatriyas goes, just like this king was a great Kshatriya, the Kshatriya is supposed to make sure that all the families in the kingdom, they know what the purpose of life is, and they make arrangements so that they can fulfill it. And the basic principle is to give up sinful activity. Evam parampara praptam imam marijarashyo vidu. Krishna spoke to the sun god Vivushvan, and the Vivushvan spoke to other great kings to regulate sense gratification, not to give it up all at once, but to utilize it in such a way as it helps spiritual advancement. It doesn't mean that one should act artificially as a sannyasi when one is a grihastha. For instance, the grihastha has a different duty than a sannyasi. Krishna says, Abhayam Satvasam Shudhira Jnana Yoga Vyavyastiti Dhanam Dhamast Jagnascha Swadhyaya Tapa Arjavam. So for the brahmachari, there's self-study. One should understand things correctly. One should see every lady except for one's wife to be just like one's mother. One should see other people's property just like garbage in the street. One should see every living entity as being just like one's very self. So this is training in brahmachari life, to learn like that. And then as a householder, instead of utilizing the children and the wife as objects of simply sense gratification, one will together perform sacrifice, one will give in charity, one will perform dhanam, dhammas, sense and mind control. One will engage in Krishna service together. And this way, actual love for the wife, actual love for the husband will develop, not simply the mood of exploitation. The more we become lusty, the more we become angry, the more we become greedy, then the more we become exploitive, the more we lose our consciousness of seeing others as being spirit souls just like we are. Instead of helping them become spiritually elevated, we become more and more interested in exploiting them. So in Kali Yuga, where everyone is talking about love and singing about love, they don't know the path to love, which is the path of Krishna consciousness, the path of regulated service to Krishna, ultimately bringing us to the platform of Krishna consciousness, where not only we'll love our wife and children, we'll love everyone else. It is not that we'll, in Krishna consciousness, we'll love everyone else and neglect our wife and children, but we'll love everyone, especially our wife and children, and everyone else. Priyavrata Maharaj, he was a great devotee. He was sitting on the top of a great mountain with Narada Muni preaching to him. Narada Muni taught him the path of renunciation. And he was committed to become a lifelong brahmachari. He had a long life too. Millions and millions of years. So that's determination. But Swayambhu Vimana wanted to retire his father. He was ruling the universe at that time. So he asked Lord Brahma to help him. He needed a replacement. He wasn't irresponsible. And his most qualified son, Priyavrata Maharaj, was not willing to become a head of the whole universe. Because then you have to become an example for unlimited householders. And sitting on the top of the mountain, hearing Narada Muni preaching would not be a very good example for the rest of the householders in the universe. Therefore, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and so many Mahajans, they came. And somehow or another, they convinced Priyavrata Maharaj to become a householder. They gave him a qualified wife. And during his reign, he acted as an exemplary householder. And his wife acted as an exemplary wife. She dressed very nicely. She tried to inspire him in so many different ways by her nice, sweet behavior, by her nice gestures, by her dressing very nicely. It is not that she put on some rags and said, "My dear Priyavrata Maharaj, I want you to become detached. I don't want you to get too much attached to me. Therefore, I'm going to yell and scream at you all day long. And that way you'll become unattached during your reign as a king." No, the king, he has to show an example of detachment in one sense, but he also has to show an example how to properly take care of his wife and children. And unless the wife and children are attractive, try to please the king in their particular way, how can the king take on the role of protecting his wife and children? So she played her part perfectly, and he played his part perfectly. He acted, as it said, as if he was a henpecked husband, very obedient to his wife. But within himself, he was always detached. He was always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He performed his part. She performed her part. He performed his part, their role as leaders of the universe. But within themselves, they were great devotees of Krishna. That doesn't mean it was all artificial. Because they were great devotees, naturally they had affection for each other. They had affection for everyone. Therefore, to play the part, which was one of the parts they could have played, they could have played any part that Krishna wanted them to play. So in the same way, one has to see, what is my role in this particular relationship? One should play the role. Probably use the example that some lady, she's about to dance. But she looks in the audience, and she sees that all my relatives in the audience, and immediately she pulls a veil over her face. No, that's not proper. Her job is to dance. It doesn't matter who's in the audience. She has to dance. Similarly, one should know what one's duty is, and then perform it. So if one becomes a householder, one should properly take care of all the dependents. And then, at the same time, one should become Krishna conscious. And Krishna consciousness means to become merciful. It means to become, it includes mercy, includes truthfulness, includes austerity, includes cleanliness. That is the path of Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, that those who are sinful, those who are deceitful, those who are foolish, those who are atheistic, they can't actually take to this path of Krishna consciousness. They can't take to the path of regulation in their lives. They can't take to the path of rising up to the platform of conquering sinful reactions, rising to the path of goodness, developing real knowledge of the self and of the Supreme Self. They can't do it. They become instead addicted to meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, and intoxication. So modern society, because it's unregulated, although people think they're advancing, they don't know what real advancement is. They don't know that they're becoming more and more entangled in the material concept of life, and therefore missing the point Therefore, it's understood that by chanting Hare Krishna, then we should become, our hearts should become cleansed gradually, and we should understand that this material world is not our kingdom. That we're not Radha, we're not Krishna, we're Krishna's eternal servants, spiritual souls. And that we shouldn't spend our lives trying to create a false kingdom where we're the deities. And that my house becomes, we shouldn't decorate our house all day long or try and arrange our house that we think it's going to become Vaikuntha by some material means. Nor should we think that our children are going to be expansions of Krishna. Of course, for a devotee, the house, it does become Vaikuntha. The children may be expansions of Krishna. But for an ordinary materialist, by their process of sense gratification, they're artificially thinking that my house is going to be Vaikuntha, my wife is going to be the goddess of fortune, my children will all be expansions of me, the Supreme. Plenary expansions and partial expansions. The most intelligent children are my plenary expansions, and the less intelligent ones are my partial expansion. That my cars are just like Garuda. They take me over to the worlds. They drive me to any city I want. So this is all a false conception. We're not Radha and we're not Krishna, but we're servants of Radha and Krishna. And as soon as we take that mentality, then we actually get, our house will become Vaikuntha. The wife will become just like the goddess of fortune. The husband will become just like Narayana. The children will become just like expansions of the Supreme. Everything will become very nice. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, one day I was in my house and it turned into Goloka Vrindavan. And the Charanamrita turned into the river Ganges. And he wasn't hallucinating. He was in Krishna consciousness. So that is our point. If we follow the path of Krishna consciousness, then our home life will become better. Everything will become better. It is not that by the path of Krishna consciousness, by following the four regular principles, everything will diminish. That a Prabhupada would have asked everyone to follow only three regular principles, namely no meat or fish or eggs, everything would have been better. Somehow or another, he asks all these other hard principles. And for that reason, our movement's not expanding. And the householders can't stay together because there's no love. No, actually, love will begin. I remember just quickly, I was in Radhadesh. I came there in 87, I believe it was. And there was one preacher there, a Christian preacher. You can imagine, here in the West, when you hear a Christian preacher, no one takes him very seriously many times. So he was preaching that you need love. The problem with this community is that there's no love. This was right after some of the leaders had left. And so everyone's saying, yes, we need some love. So he said, you have to do what you feel. You have to, if it feels good, then you do it. So he's preaching to the householders, to everyone in the community, and they were all agreeing, yes, yes, he's right. We have to develop more love. So everyone, the householders, they decided that we're not going to follow the principles anymore. We need love. They stopped following the principles and they realized they didn't really like each other. That they didn't love, want to really, this was not the person I was going to have, wanted to break the principles with. There are so many other people I wanted to break the principles with. So they left each other. They left Krishna consciousness. They left everything and went out looking for someone to break the principles with that they could really love. So it was a disaster. His philosophy was exposed that so-called unrestricted sense gratification is not love. But if we really want to love each other, then begins with following the four regular principles, then we can actually be concerned with someone else other than my senses. And if we follow them properly, then eventually we'll come to the platform that real love will be awakened and everything will go on naturally and spontaneously in Krishna consciousness. But we should have intelligence to understand what is the process of developing love and what is the process of developing exploitation. So here, the king was lamenting although he's a great elevated soul, somehow or another he's afflicted by this desire to exploit his other wife. And therefore he had become merciless towards his one wife while trying to exploit the other. And he became merciless to his wife and child. And then he realized how great a devotee, that his child was actually a great soul who went into the forest to find Krishna, and then he lamented for him. He lamented over his lack of properly fulfilling his role as king. So we should see what our role is, try to improve it, and Prabhupada has given us the means of improving whatever role we have, and if we have faith in Srila Prabhupada and the instructions coming down through the disciple succession, we should understand that our relationships with each other, our relationships with people on the outside, all the relationships will improve, and that is real progress in life. Not simply judging things by the gross national or gross individual production. So, thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
How important is it? How important is it for in ISKCON, for say brahmacharis or grihastas, especially when they reach a certain age as they get older, how important or how vital is it that they take to vanapras or sannyas in order to become detached from the material world?
Well, said after 50 years old, you're supposed to go into the forest and takes a vanaprastha. 50, something like that, 55. Sometime you have to get detached. How important it is? Well, it's important. We should, not that one has to abandon the wife, vanaprastha. One can be with his wife, but one has to stop the process of producing children at some age. Not that one is like Ajamil, I'm 85 years old, I just need one more kid. There has to be some limit. Not that I'm 95 years old, my kid wants to play hopscotch with me. And I can't even walk. There has to be some reasonable limit. There is some duty. Ultimately, we're trying to liberate ourselves from the material world. So there has to be some point where we make a sincere attempt to do that. Is there some reason why you asked the question, or... Oh, okay. So some point has to be there. It's not that, you know, you're 50, you get, have the 50th birthday, and immediately you get, you're done to along with the cake. It may not be so artificial. There's duties for sannyas, one has to work for it. There's duties for vanaprastha, one should work at it. Not that now I'm 50 years old, the clock rang, and now I'm going to, it doesn't matter what I did during my household life, I'm going to take vanaprastha and sannyas. No one has to prepare for it at the beginning. By when one is a householder, understand when one is a brahmachari, that one actually studies what one should do for the rest of one's life to become self-realized. In every ashram, one has to know very clearly at the beginning what to do. Then when one is a householder, he can cultivate things like charity, sense of mind control, and sacrifice. So if one didn't do that during the household life, it will be very difficult to be very austere in vanaprastha life. What to speak of fearless and have spiritual knowledge and abhayam sattva samsha and being completely pure in sannyas life. So one has to work at the beginning. It's not simply a time limit. It's a question of developing qualities. But we should, at some point, we should realize I've got to develop these qualities. Otherwise, if you spend your whole household life watching television, you take vanaprastha, you go into the forest, you'll bring a portable TV with you. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.